Yeah, no, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good, man. Good to have you back, brother.
Yeah, great to be on your show. Thank you.
Well, hey, now you're in the West Coast. Whereabouts are you at?
I'm in Irvine, California, Orange County.
Uh-oh, you're in Californicator, huh? Man,
Yep.
what is, I know we got a show to do, but man, I got to know what's life like out in Cali?
Oh, it's a brand new world out here. I think we're the model for the new world order.
Is there a petition going on to impeach the governor?
Yeah, there is. I think last heard it had 800,000 signatures or something like that.
Wow. Did you get a chance to sign it? How do you, is that an online thing?
Actually, yeah, some people had a copy of it last night.
Wow.
So people are passing around the petition.
Well, tonight we're going to be talking about the Military Guide to Armageddon, battle-tested strategies to prepare your life and soul for the end times. And Troy, I gotta ask you. I guess we'll start off with that. How close are we? Are we in the end times now, or is there something worse coming?
Well, yeah, very well could be something worse coming, but it certainly seems that we're moving into what the Bible describes as the end times. You know, over the last decade, I've interviewed over 200 experts, major faith leaders, you know, Billy Graham, Tim LaHaye, all the major Bible prophecy experts, and they say that, you know, they believe we're moving into this period of time. Billy Graham told me signs of the end of the age are converging for the first time since Jesus made those predictions. But then, you know, as we revealed on your previous shows and on the Babylon Code and Trumpocalypse, there's experts at, you know, Princeton and Oxford and Harvard, existential risk institutes. They believe we're approaching the end of human civilization. In fact, they even warn of a global totalitarian government. So, yeah, there's a lot of signs that this is really happening.
Or what has been described now as a coming global reset. They're sort of kind of making it sound like, oh man, we're going to reset. We're all going to get some money and we're going to heal every disease. It's going to be great. I'm not sure that that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, we actually had a chapter in the Trumpocalypse called the Great Reset. And now they've come out in open fashion on the World Economic Forum talking about the global reset. And if you sort of read the fine print and look into it, it sounds like this is what the elite, this is their big plan. They're rolling it out beginning in January, apparently.
So is the vaccine part of this global reset?
You know, it very well could be. It seems like this could be part of it. You know, there's all kinds of different. I actually wrote a story about the vaccine. I call it the Armageddon vaccine for Godspeed magazine here a few months ago. We interviewed Robert Kennedy Jr., who's been very concerned about vaccines. And, you know, it's pretty stunning and shocking, the kind of things that people are finding out about this vaccine. Well, only time will tell if this is, you know, a precursor to the mark of the beast or what exactly this is. But it's, you know, it's very, very curious.
Well, what prompted you to start writing a book like this? Is it because of your foresight and the things you know, the intelligence information you've been getting about it?
Well, what happened is after Trumpocalypse came out in early 2018, retired U.S. Army chaplain and Colonel David Giamona got a hold of me out of the blue. And he said he'd written a book called The Making of a Warrior. And the first thought that occurred to me was, you know, I knew about these Gallup polls that say about 70% of the public, you know, highly respects the military. So the thought occurred to me, if America listened to anybody about, you know, the dangers we're facing or we're actually moving into the end times, they'll listen to an Army chaplain and colonel. So I agreed to help him write this book, and then it became the Military Guide to Armageddon, Battle Tested Strategies to Prepare Your Life and Soul for the End Times. And now it's coming out on January 5th.
Awesome. When you're talking about Armageddon, are you talking about the Armageddon from a biblical standpoint, or Armageddon as if like this global reset, or everyone's going to take the vaccine and lose their jobs and be on government money? I mean, are we talking about global war? Are we talking about just these sort of resets of traditions and relationships and this and that?
Yeah, well, you know, with this title, The Military Guide to Armageddon, you know, of course, the book Revelation talks about, you know, Armageddon as the final battle or a series of battles leading up to the, you know, the culmination of the 7-year tribulation, return of Jesus Christ. So, But you know, prior to that time, as we've seen over the last year, there's certainly a lot of stuff that's happening, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot more happening, especially next year, as we start to see exactly how this presidential election is going to pan out, and what's in store for us next year.
Well, a lot of people would like 2020 to be gone, but it is going to be, it's a historical year by any measure. What do you see the final outcome of the election is going to be?
I'm very hopeful that the strategies that President Trump is using will ultimately put him in for a second term. If you read the mainstream media, it doesn't look very promising. But if you read other conservative news sources, that kind of thing, there's a number of different things he's trying. So I'm optimistic that he'll actually be placed in there for a second term. Of course, if that happens, I believe it would be a gigantic miracle of God. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have been praying for that. So we'll see if that's, mm-hmm. Part of God's will mm-hmm. here.
Well, I think the God particle, should I say, the God influence is totally discounted by the forces that are trying to undermine this country and that are attempting to steal the election and turn us over to globalism. God has always been sort of counted out. And it's, but there's a biblical scripture that says God will laugh at their derision. It's like, they don't anticipate him being in have any effect, or that he doesn't exist at all. So therefore, he doesn't. They don't put that into the strategy. But God's hand has been on America and has been shown in various historical moments. You think this is a moment where God will show himself strong?
In our Paul McGuire and I's book Trumpocalypse, in the last chapter, we called for a national day of repentance. And there hasn't been one since Abraham Lincoln was president. We've had national days of prayer, but we've never had a national day of repentance since Abraham Lincoln was president. And when I was editor of Charisma, I met a guy named Reverend Kevin Jessup, and he told me he felt called to lead a national repentance movement. So the last several years, he started networking of major faith leaders traveling all around the country and the world. He asked us to write the White House executive summary. We did. And then late last year, he told us that Rabbi Jonathan Kahn had agreed to be the spokesman for it. And the whole thing went forward. It was called the Return National and Global Day of Prayer and Repentance. It took place September 26th on the National Mall. 100,000 people showed up. Millions watched it online. Afterward, Kevin told us about 250,000 people gave their lives to the Lord. So we actually had a National Day of Repentance modeled after the biblical template, like the ancient Israelites would do when they got in deep trouble and looked like mm-hmm. they're going to be conquered. Mm-hmm. Many people are hopeful that God will intervene here. Mm-hmm. The God factor, the God particle, whatever you want to call it. So, mm-hmm. well, we'll see. It's ultimately in God's hands now.
Mm-hmm. Well, going back to the Continental Army, the British Army was vastly better equipped and trained, and they faced a ragtag army of people that were underfed, underclothed, running through the forest, and they basically dismissed them as the enemy. But they ended up with all that force that was arrayed against them. Obviously, we know the end of that story. So now here we are, sort of Americans, we're being tossed to and fro with various edicts and dictates and commands from those in authority who had discounted our ability to fight back in whatever way that would be. And that they may find that, and of course, they are well-armed, they are well-funded, they are well-coordinated. You're talking about big tech, big government, educational institutions, and the media all are arrayed. It seems like it's almost an insurmountable army. And I'm one where, Troy, I had to come up with my own decision on how to deal with these matters, because I have a face out here like you do with your book and the appearances that you make. So I had to decide, am I going to be one that says we're all going to be destroyed? And by the way, doom and gloom does sell, but I've determined within myself that God's still on the throne no matter what, and I'm going to be positive. But let me tell you something. I feel like I'm taking on a conversation, but I want to get to this point here. You know who Sid Roth is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he was being interviewed. He's had a number of people that had considered to be prophets that say that Trump is going to be reelected. And the interviewer asked him about that question, what if he's not? Well, Sid Roth said basically that God's still on the throne no matter what. But he said that the scripture, that some of the kind of the wafflers that may not be prophets or not, they kind of hedge a little bit. And they use the scripture, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then, you know, turn from their sins, I will hear from heaven. But he said those are using that as a crux. It's sort of a, well, it didn't happen because you really didn't pray hard enough, or you left unrepentant sin in there, so people didn't pray hard enough. So in other words, he was saying there are those are hedging just in case. Of course, he said that's not a prophet. A prophet doesn't hedge. Just say it. Just say what God told you to say and leave it. But he said some are using that as a hedge. And I have heard over time where people have come on this show claiming to be prophets, and man, they send me CDs and mathematical equations saying here it is, and if that didn't pan out, then they don't ever want to come back on the show. So what about that? What about, you know, the Mark Taylors of the world that say, are people going to disown them and say you are a fraud? I mean, what do you see is going to happen to those that are kind of doing that?
Yeah, you know, I've listened to Sid Ross' show and heard, you know, Mark Taylor and different guys that made these prophecies. I mean, only time will tell, you know, how this all pans out. You know, I don't know exactly what's going to happen. Like I said, I'm hopeful that President Trump will get in for a second term, but, you know, it doesn't look too good right now. But, you know, how will the public react to these guys that said this? You know, I imagine if Trump is not put in for a second term, then, you know, they'll suffer some kind of repercussions for that. But only time will tell. I think that the ball's in God's court, and he'll ultimately decide here. And it's our job to pray and seek his forgiveness for our sins. So hopefully this National Day of Repentance, touched God's heart, and he'll give us some more time. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned the Revolutionary War. You know, if you look back in American history, you know, I've got ancestors that fought in the Revolutionary War, Civil War, World War I, World War II, Korean War. And at great times of crisis, you know, it seems like, the Americans sort of pull themselves up by their bootstraps. And even though it looks like, you know, Nazi Germany is going to take over the world, you know, God intervenes, some kind of miracle happens, and Americans do the right thing. So, you know, the more we speak out and encourage people, the more that, people will be brave and courageous, because that's what we need at this time. Mm-hmm.
So do you know who Lynn Wood is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's taken to bashing Mike Pence. And I have seen Mike Pence being accused of being a pedophile. I've seen him accused of being part of the New World Order. And now Lynn Wood is accusing him of being a traitor. I mean, the guy's a Christian. My problem with him is he's too nice. You know, this is politics, man. I mean, these are vultures. These are, you talk about warriors in your book, and there's a war going on. Half the people don't know there is a war. But I mean, Mike Pence has been getting better. He's from my home state where I'm at. But, I was thinking, man, we need a unified front. Now, you're talking about a military guide. Doesn't there have to be a unified front?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the big reasons why because we want to bring together the body of Christ. I mean, we're all on the same side here, and it's important for us to, you know, sort of band together and fight the good fight here. Be brave and courageous. You know, the military has a term called the making of a warrior, and so this book sort of, you know, the colonel took, you know, 3 decades of his experience in the military and condenses that into, you know, sort of spiritual warfare kind of terms, the making of a warrior process. So this book is designed to, you know, teach you how to become an end times warrior of God, how to be brave and courageous, you know, put on the full armor of God. You know, the Bible talks about the Lord of armies. It talks about heaven organized as a military structure. And we're in the midst of a gigantic battle, not just in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm. There's a huge battle going on. And I believe God is calling more soldiers of Christ to do the Lord's work. And, you know, some people believe that, you know, hundreds of millions of people could come to the Lord in the years ahead. You know, especially as people are waking up to what's really happening here. You know, a recent LifeWay poll said 9 in 10 pastors now see signs of Jesus' return in the current events. You know, of course, the church doesn't talk about Bible prophecy too much, but apparently most of the pastors know what's really going on. So we hope to encourage people to, you know, dedicate their lives to the Lord and do the work that the Lord is calling us to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always put this out there about the Minutemen. And every warrior for the Lord that gets on this show, I'm gonna tell them my point of, or my view on this, and or my knowledge of this, and that is that Christians prayed, sang songs by Isaac Watts in the hymnals. Then they had a minute to go outside and get ready to kill some British. And that isn't that the genesis of the Minutemen?
Well, of course, you know that.
But what I'm saying is, Troy, that, and as you say, we need to be spiritual warriors. But is there action? Shouldn't there be some kind of action to go with that? Now, I'm not talking about shooting people here. I'm just talking action.
Yeah, I mean that, you know, essentially the Bible call, you know, one of the greatest sins, two of the greatest sins the Bible talks about that you almost never hear about is cowardice and sins of omission, not doing what you know is right. And this is one of the biggest reasons why we're in this situation right now is for decades, you know, the church and Christians have sort of, you know, taken the easy route. We've gone to the country club church and just sort of, you know, went along, get along. We sort of abandoned the culture. And in the meantime, you know, the devil took over everything pretty much. And that now we're waking up to what's, you know, the bad situation we're in and hoping that God will intervene. So we need everybody to get involved and get active and, you know, stand up. We need to stand up and fight for our freedom, fight for our country.
Mm-hmm. When the Bible talks about ye shall do great exploits, What does that mean?
You know, the Bible is essentially a book of miracles. If you look at if you read the stories of the Bible characters, these are just sort of regular guys that God used in miraculous ways. The Bible is full of all these supernatural interventions of God. And so, you know, part of this, the idea behind this book is to teach people how to walk in the supernatural power, protection, and provision of the Holy Spirit in the last days, because that's the only way we're going to get through this is to walk in the power of God. And so, you know, the Bible lays out how you do this. So this book sort of takes the wisdom we've learned from, you know, walking with the Lord, you know, over the decades and military strategies and teaches you how to do that.
By the way, May 77 Abel just joined us in the live chat. As folks continue to join the show, I'll shout out their name. All right, Troy, we have a question from Azure on the live chat. It says, does the astronomical event possibly have anything included in your prediction?
Oh, the Christmas star, the Star of Bethlehem? Yeah, that was pretty interesting. We get this sign we haven't seen in 1,000 years or something like that that's similar to the conjunction of the Star of Bethlehem back in time of Christ. The Bible talks about signs in the heavens and that kind of thing. And so I believe God does, you know, speak to us in numerous ways. So this very well could be, some kind of indication.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's get to another question. This is from Smoke C. It says, Troy, what should private citizens do to resist these evil forces? Do we need to organize ourselves into communities so we know who's on our side?
First and most important thing is to, you know, educate, you know, get educated and become aware of what's really happening by, you know, watching shows like this and reading different books and the Bible, of course. Or organizing is a good idea. I think that, if you have like a local group, a local community where people of like mind can get together and you can build support and relationships, you know, help you get through whatever is coming down the pike next. So, you know, I have a small group I'm a part of. I have a film prayer team that prays for our books and our films. And mm-hmm. So it's good to have a strong group to connect with. So I would encourage that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what about prepping? Is that anything to do with does a military man, does he prep? Is that a battle-tested strategy?
Yeah, we actually have a chapter 14 called Prepping for the End Times. And so the colonel, you know, he's definitely prepared. And so he gives like some of the best strategies, the kind of physical things you need, you know, food, water, different kinds of, you know, just in case there's some kind of disaster. I mean, who knows what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks here. We've got the there's talk of potential martial law, you know, potential insurrection act, you know, executive orders. You know, we just had this bombing in Nashville where there's questions about what's really going on there, airspace and that kind of thing. So pretty much anything can happen here. So it's just wise and prudent. The Bible tells us that a wise man prepares for disaster. And so we should all, you know, start to take, if we haven't already, get ready for whatever is going to happen next year.
Mm-hmm. that there's a lot of conspiracy theories coming out already on that Nashville bombing, and some of them say that the AT&T building was strategically hit, and that it had communication systems in three or four states were I don't know, disabled. And so it seems to me that that could easily be construed as somebody who trying to stop our ability to communicate. Or was it a message that if there is an insurrection act even ready to be declared, that they said this was going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, only time will tell how this is going to pan out. But you know, it's very curious about the what, like you mentioned, the communications and what this facility was. There's different things I'm hearing too, but it's good to pay attention to all different sources of news to keep track of what's happening here.
I didn't get a chance to follow through on checking the veracity of what came through the internet feed, and that is that supposedly in the Cooties 19 bill, was there a statute in there that bans the president from invoking the Insurrection Act?
I didn't hear about that. Is that something you heard?
Yeah, it is. And somebody said, "What
Yeah,
was that doing in there?"
I haven't heard that.
Yeah. Well, 5-6,000 pages. You know, it isn't just about getting people some money. And I mean, we're talking about sexual preference studies in Pakistan and giving illegal immigrants money and then retroing a paycheck for the first time, where they end up getting more money than Americans. I mean, there's bailouts for the Smithsonian and various arts museums that are closed. But you know, Troy, this is how Washington works. They say, "Hey, we want to do something good. We're gonna give funding to the National Endowment of Arts. We're gonna give them $30 million." And then what happens is they get the money, and their endowment donates money to the consulting firm that is run by the senator or the congressman who wrote the bill or signed the bill, or the DNC. This is how that's how Planned Parenthood does. They get $500 million of our tax money, then Planned Parenthood gives $30 million to the Democrat National Committee. This is how they rotate. So I'm thinking somebody out there, and think about this, Troy, who's writing those 5,000 pages? It wasn't those stupid congressmen, because they can't even read half of them. Most of them are communists, so they don't want to know anything about the Constitution. Somebody's back in the back there writing those bills. Who is that?
I was a newspaper reporter for 20 years at the Los Angeles Daily News and other newspapers, and that's what we'd always look for as investigative reporters. You dig through the documents, you learn how to sort of scan them and look for all these little funny things. They put in page like 295, or page in this document, page 3,323 or something. You got to really check these things, because there's all kinds of sneaky things that go on in the background.
Sneaky, sneaky things. No. How about crimes?
Yeah.
And there's a video of the police chief in Nashville laughing and giggling about the explosion. I'm thinking, okay, that's what, this is time for a serious thing. And so, but he said, "Well, we want to find these folks." And I'm thinking, I heard that before. That's what Obama would say about terrorists killing American soldiers. "Well, we need to tell the folks to leave them alone. We need to go after these folks." No, they're not folks, okay? They're freaks, okay? They're terrorists. And I get tired of them doing that little light shuffle there. "Oh, we got to find these folks." They're not folks, they're terrorists, man. They need to be strung up. All right, let's get to some more questions for you, Troy Anderson. This is from Azur. It says, "Troy, the Chinese owns vast acreage in your home state of California. Farming industry that average American has no idea about. And a lot of it's in the farming industry. Any concerns about that issue?"
Oh yeah, great concerns about what China's been doing. They've been buying up our ports, land, companies, corporations, the media. With all the money that essentially our policies helped China gain over the last 5-6 decades, they're now using it against us. China, Gordon Chang's an expert on China. I just read an article today, that they played possibly played a big role in the election fraud that we've seen here. And so, yeah, it's a great concern what's going on with China. And the Bible even talks about a 200 million man army from the far east that will attack during the Battle of Armageddon. So, could that be
Mm-hmm.
referenced to, China and other Asian countries playing some role in the end times? Very well could be.
All right, you're a man in the know. I got G14 classified sources tell me that Chinese army's up there getting trained and getting ready to invade the United States from Canada. Then my other G14 classified information sources tell me they're a raid on the southern border getting ready to come up here. Are they going to hit us from both sides, or is this a bunch of malarkey about the Chinese being on this hemisphere getting ready to invade good old America?
I've heard the same thing you've heard. I haven't had time to really dig into it and find out. I certainly hope that's not the case. But there's reports or rumors out there about that.
So we got the Mitch McConnell out there, and I was wondering why they call him the turtle, and it just dawned on me, being an animal guy, that there's this box turtle that I got running around my yard sometimes. His head goes inside that shell, and it kind of collects in the throat area. And if you look at it, it looks like Mitch McConnell. I mean, with this. I know you will laugh at my jokes, but that's what reminds me why they call him turtle. But anyway, besides that, he's trying to talk Republican senators out of not objecting to the electoral count. Whose side he on?
No, I think it's very important that the senators object to the electoral count. I mean, if you read some of the conservative media, like I've subscribed to the Epoch Times, Newsmax, I write for Newsmax, different Breitbart, different conservative media. You'll get the impression pretty quickly that there was massive fraud in this election. I think there was a poll, maybe it was Gallup or Rasmussen, said 75% of Republicans believe there's, massive fraud in this election, but 50% of Democrats believe there's massive fraud in this election. And so there's a pretty widespread consensus that something, one of the greatest election frauds in the history of America, if not the greatest, has just occurred. So we need the state representatives and members of Congress to stand up and do the right thing here. If the left is allowed to, pull off a gigantic fraudulent election, not only, will the globalist elite be allowed to essentially move us into this great reset, whatever they have planned for us. Is this essentially the rollout of the New World Order? But we'll never have another free election in American history. So this is a time of an amazing crisis in the history of our nation, and so we need everybody to stand up and be courageous and do what's right here.
Somebody asked me the other day, they said, "Do you think there'll be another election?" I said, "Of course there'll be another election, but by that time, the fraudulent systems will be sort of like impregnated into our structure, and when somebody objects to voter fraud again, they're going to say, there you go again. You tried that last time, and every case was thrown out, okay? Because you just can't stand losing. That's what they're going to say. Because the judges are playing whack-a-mole, man. When somebody says, hey, here's a bag of ballots, boom, goes down. Say, hey, here's a truck from New York going to Philadelphia with 300,000 ballots on it, and somebody stole the trailer, boom. I mean, it's like whack-a-mole with these judges, man. Why don't they support this country and the Constitution? Are all the judges compromised, like I was saying about John Wick?
I just read an article today. I forget who said it, but I think as a former judge that expressed concerns that the judges are intimidated. They're intimidated by the left, by the cancel culture. That there's essentially fear of what's going to happen if the Democrats gain control and what ultimately is going to go down here. And so a lot of people are not being courageous. They're not standing up. They don't want to put their own necks on the line. And if people don't stand up, we're going to lose this country. America is the greatest experiment in freedom in the history of the world. God has used this country in incredible ways to spread the gospel around the world for 4 centuries. And if we lose this country, that ability is probably going to be severely curtailed. And so this is very important.
In your book, you talk about countering the darkness and the approaching end time forces. What forces are you referring to?
Well, yeah, there's two elements of powerful forces that we're dealing with here. The primary one is a spiritual battle that's going on behind the scenes between the forces of God and the forces of Satan. This is the Bible talks about principalities and powers that operate in heavenly realms and different dimensions, and there's a great battle going on behind the scenes, and the primary target of this battle is us. And so, there are spiritual entities intervening in human affairs, and that's what we're seeing playing out on the physical level here. So, it's important to understand that what we see is not the only thing going on, and the Bible talks, a lot about this. There's a great portion of the Bible talks about this spiritual battle. So this book is designed to help you, fight this spiritual battle, and God gives us all kinds of tools. There's gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's, different gifts that each of us have that help us navigate this battle, that we all experience in life.
So, gifts of the Spirit, would that also include, say, gifts of organizing your local community, gifts of modifying weapons for battle use, gifts of planning different strategies? Are those considered gifts too?
Yeah, I mean, God gives us all very unique gifts, and he expects us to use all those different gifts, to further the kingdom of God on earth, and to do what the Bible tells us to do. So, but there's also like gifts of like discernment and interpretation, and I think it's Ephesians or 2 Corinthians talks about many of the different gifts of the Spirit. So we go into some of those things in the book, and how you can learn what gift you have and how to use that.
So if somebody, let's just say some of these forces was coming down the highway, it was coming to a local town, but nobody knew about it. Would you suspect that somebody within that community would have an intuitive gift where they would intuitively know that evil forces are coming to their town?
I believe that God gives us great, great intuition. And if you just, the Bible talks about sort of listening to the still small voice of God or the Holy Spirit. And if you think back over your life, if you just listened to that voice, you could have avoided so much trouble. So I think God shows you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Doreen8951 out of the live chat says, Troy, is there a rapture?
The Bible has a number of verses that refer to what people call the rapture. It's this supernatural removal of the Christians from earth before the tribulation begins. This has been the predominant view of, most mainstream Christianity for a long time. There's some people that believe that it happens at the midpoint or possibly at the end point of the tribulation. Only time will tell, but, many people are hopeful that there will be a rapture.
Mm-hmm. Using strategies in your book, the subtitle says battle-tested strategies, as a matter of fact. What strategy have you used to win a battle?
Well, one of the things that my wife suggested a few years ago, I started keeping a journal of things that seem miraculous in our lives. And so every time we pray and it seemed like God would intervene in some kind of miraculous way, I'd put it down, just sort of copy and paste an email or something like that, so I don't spend too much time on it. Mm-hmm. And now this document has grown to like 150 pages. I think it's got like 145 entries. And it's just sort of like this record of God intervening in our lives in supernatural ways. It's a gigantic faith builder. And so I think that's a very encouraging thing to do it teaches you how to fight spiritual battles and then to recognize that God does intervene. He does perform miracles all the time. And if you write it down, then you can go back and remember it. So it's, mm-hmm. it's big, it's very, very encouraging.
So how do you deal with the maximum? Sometimes we're so spiritually minded, we're no earthly good. Do you find a strike a balance in your book for that?
Yeah, we try to strike a good balance for that, because we all have to live here in the real world, which is, we got to earn a living, we got to raise families, we got to, take care of ourselves. And so, life is a balancing thing. We got to balance all these different things. But, like I said earlier, for a long time, Christians and America in general, we've sort of been asleep at the wheel for decades as the left and powerful forces gained significant control of our country. And if we had been, watchmen on the wall awake, as to what was happening, mm-hmm. It'd probably be better now. I don't know if it'd change things, but so it's good to have a good balance.
Do you lay any responsibility to the general church at large for allowing America to get to this point? Because surely church people, church groups, members outnumber most of the freaks that's running around trying to destroy this country. But there has always been a teaching in the church that, and it's true, that God sets up kings and he brings down kings. But some have taught then, or some have heard that as, what will be, God's in control. I don't even need to vote, which ended up a large percent of Christians never voted. I don't know where they were when they were Roe versus Wade was being argued. Do you think that that whole topic was sort of a fail safe for those teaching that so they never would get into any trouble no matter what came out, and have people checked out of that system because of that? Do you think that whole thing was not checked line by line, precept upon precept, but just a general thing that was taught, and because it wasn't taught completely or in error or line upon line, that it was misconstrued, and that's where we are right now?
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. For you know, a number of decades, it, you know, it seemed like the church was sort of encouraging us to, you know, retreat toward this Christian subculture, and so we gave up. You know, most people didn't go in the media, they didn't go into entertainment, they didn't go into government. You know, there's all kinds of fields that we sort of, you know, academia, education, we sort of gave these fields over to the secularist and the atheist, and now we're seeing the results of this. I think the other thing that happened is there was all these books that came out in the late 60s and the 70s about Bible prophecy, like Hal Lindsey's books and stuff. And there were passages in there that, you know, may have inferred that, you know, maybe the rapture, like in 1988, was a real popular one. And then when it didn't happen, then people became disillusioned.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so I remember then that. After that point, the church didn't really teach.
Seems like I remember back in the early Christian. Wasn't there things like, see you in heaven in 77 and don't be late in 88? I mean, there's a few more of them like that, isn't there?
Yeah. So, you know, so people got real hopeful that Jesus was going to return back in the, you know, like the late 80s. When it didn't happen, there was a, you know, a lot of disillusionment. And actually, if you read the late great Planet Earth, Hal Lindsey's book, he doesn't specifically say the rapture is going to happen in 1988. He just says, like, if a biblical generation is perhaps 40 years after Israel became a nation, then maybe it'll happen then. But it sort of got, you know, taken from there, but in another book. But after that point, the church sort of largely stopped teaching on Bible prophecy or pretty much anything controversial. But now we're watching this stuff, you know, apparently really unfolding, you know, the church hasn't, like, been, you know, waking people up as to what's happening. So I believe this is the devil sort of used this as a sophisticated strategy to, you know, lull us to sleep. So I think that's, you know, part of what's happened.
Okay. Thank you, everyone who's just joining the program. This program is streaming live on YouTube channel. There's a chat on the right side of YouTube and our website is streaming. And on the left side of the website is a chat. So both those chats are combined. So we see the same chat. So those have questions for Troy Anderson. You can put them in the live chat. All right. Teflon Coat says, Troy, are mankind's spiritual powers being increased for the coming events?
Yeah, the Bible talks about a sort of an exponential increase in evil. So I think what we're seeing happening is two phenomena. The first phenomena is that the, you know, the devil is gaining greater control over humanity, you know, through people. The Bible talks about demonic spirits possessing people, influencing people. So I think we're seeing that happen. We're also seeing an increase in God's power on the earth, because, you know, ultimately God is in control. And so I believe that whatever happens in the years ahead, whether this is really it or not, God's going to use this for his greater purpose, which is, you know, so much higher than what we can see. I mean, God sees the big picture, and ultimately what he's concerned about is, you know, people coming to the Lord, repenting of their sins and turning back to him. And so I think this is actually the most exciting time to be a believer in the history of the world, because we're going to see many, many people come to God in the years ahead. So so I think we're seeing both these two phenomena happen simultaneously.
So earlier we asked you about the rapture, and did you infer that you believe there is one?
Yeah, I've always believed there's a rapture, but, you know, I haven't had time to fully research all these sort of new theories that are coming out. There's the pre-wrath and the mid-trib, but I've always believed in the.
Did you ever hear that the Baptists were going to be the first ones to go in the air?
The Baptists go first.
Yeah, because there's a scripture that says the dead in Christ shall ride first.
Yeah, that's great.
That was risky too, because I didn't know which side of the aisle you were on there. But a question come in, says, Troy, what's all this talk about alien disclosure, and how does this fit into these end-time scenarios?
I've been reading some interesting books on this lately. I'm not entirely convinced that all this stuff is real. There was a very interesting book by I forget his name. It was back in the early 1970s, but he talked about the possibility. I mean, the Bible talks about a great deception that will happen in the end times, and so could this involve this alien disclosure? Could a
Hal
lot of this
Lindsey?
stuff we're hearing about UFOs and stuff, could it be, demonic in nature? The Bible talks about angels being able to appear in human form. Could they have technologies? This other dimensions? Could they have all kinds of technologies that can now appear here? But there are books coming out talking about, supposed CIA documents and NSA stuff, about bases in Antarctica and agreements with these alien civilizations, all kinds of sort of crazy stuff. I haven't had time to really check it out, but
Well, that might have to be in your next, because it seems to me we're going to need some military to fight off these crazy alien people. Question again, another come in says, do you believe the Earth is under a firmament?
I'm not exactly sure what this person means.
I don't know. That could be a flat Earth related question, but if the person would like to clarify that a little bit. All right, Australian Biz says, Troy, do you have a Bible reading routine that helps further your understanding and discernment? If so, what is it?
Yeah, so what I do is I try to, wake up fairly early in the morning and then, pray each morning and read, several Bible verses or several Bible chapters, spend time with God. That seems to be one of the keys to, walking in the Holy Spirit and, enjoying the protection of God and that kind of thing. The other things, I have a Bible study group. We meet even, via online or Zoom every Friday night. And so it's good to have like a Bible study group, a small group. Those are very important things. The Bible tells us to fellowship. In fact, we went to church the other night and it's all outside now. So, you just sort of go to
So,
church outside.
Governor Nuisance isn't chasing you around out there?
He was for a while, but apparently now the churches can meet as long as you're outdoors.
Probably.
Least they haven't found my church yet.
Wow. I mean, I don't even know what that's like. I think you're right. But California seems to be ahead of everybody in the crazy way that they're acting. And it seems to me they hate religion and they try to stamp it out at first. Earlier, I asked you about what battle-tested strategy did you use to win a battle, and you told me about a book or journal that you have that tracks, I don't know, synchronicities, magical events, seemingly God's hand. But I want to get down a little bit further on that, because if there's a strategy, I want to know what it is. So, for instance, has something happened, say maybe a sickness, or maybe your car wouldn't start, so you used a battle-tested strategy to get it to start, or there was a sickness and you used a battle-tested strategy to be healed or to land a job? That's the kind of strategy I want to see if that's played in your life.
Yeah, I mean, prayer is an incredibly powerful thing because, God, created the entire universe. He created the earth. He created us. He controls, everything. And so the only way that God can intervene in human affairs is via prayer. We essentially ask him to intervene. And of course, God operates under like a legal system, a very, it's all detailed in the Bible. And so he can only intervene in human affairs by prayer. And so in my life, yeah, I've seen, jobs come along. Money that you didn't expect come along. I've seen a cancer healed. I've seen all kinds of, miraculous things, occur simply because of prayer. And I'm 100% convinced that God does intervene in our lives on a regular basis. So, as we move into these end time events, prayer is going to be incredibly important, to seek God. The Bible also talks about, we can't be perfect, but to try to live as righteous lives as we can. Ask God to forgive you of your sins every day. We all sin pretty much every day. So the first thing in the morning I do is I just ask the Lord to forgive me. And so I think those are important strategies. The colonel also takes a whole bunch of military stuff, like the fog of war. He talks about fight tonight, being battle ready, all kinds of sort of stuff he learned in the army, and converts those into spiritual warfare kind of terms. So he takes you through this making of the warrior process, and all these different strategies the military uses to take a regular soldier, I mean, take a regular civilian and turn them into a soldier that can, you know, fight wars.
It seems to me like a lot of scriptures, maybe even parables, are in written in sort of a warlike stance. You know, the battle's not against flesh and blood. Take up your sword, you know, your helmet of salvation. These are battle instruments. So it does seem that God has told us that you are going to be in a war. And I don't think that war is ever going to stop while we're alive, is it, Troy?
Yeah, of course. The Bible tells us we're in a fight with, you know, the forces of darkness every day. And so, you know, it talks about putting on the armor of God, the sword of the word of God, you know, the armor, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, you know, all these different things that help us, you know, fight this spiritual battle, you know, protect our families, you know, move through life, make a living, all these different kind of things. And, you know, we also talk about different heroes in the Bible, like King David was involved in, I think it's 60 of the 60 of 90 battles that are in the Bible. And so we talk about the story of King David, and, you know, what he learned from, you know, being in different battles. You know, of course, you remember the story of, you know, David and Goliath when he was a little boy. You know, nobody else would challenge the great, you know, giant Goliath, and he would, because he was, you know, a brave little kid, and used a slingshot to kill this great giant, you know. And you know, God said, you know, of the, you know, different characters in the Bible, he was a man after God's own heart. So apparently, you know, God respects, you know, courage and you know, doing the right thing.
All right. Doreen 8951 says, Troy, will Nibiru hit Earth soon?
There is a, I'm not sure about Nibiru, but the Bible does talk about essentially planets or asteroids that strike the Earth in the period of the tribulation. There's talk about the, you know, the Wormwood star, and now, you know, NASA's, you know, tracking all kinds of different asteroids. There's one that I think that they believe could hit us in 2028. I forget the number of that asteroid, but you know, the Bible does talk about that. And so
All right. May 77 Abel says, Troy, do you see a civil war coming should Trump not get a second term?
we were just talking to our PR guy a few days ago. He's in Washington, D.C., and he said that you know, he thought the timing of the book was very interesting. It comes out on January 5th. Or yeah, January 5th, and the next day is the, you know, the big electoral, you know, challenge vote in there in D.C. So he said, you know, he sees chaos, mayhem, and apocalypse all wrapped up in one on January 6th. So, you know, it's well, only time will tell. But you know, I think President Trump said, you know, encourage people to go to Washington, D.C. It's going to be wild. I imagine it probably will be.
Well, I mean, this is the weirdest. Why not, man? This election is just as weird as the whole year of 2020, but it's not like it was not foreseen. Trump said he made that executive order in 2018, saying, I'm sure you've looked into that, have to do with foreign interference digitally hacking into our systems, and that the intelligence agencies had to report to him. And I don't know where that report is. I haven't heard anything about it yet, but obviously, we knew it was coming. We knew that they were using this Cooties 19 as an excuse to dump millions of mail-in ballots across the country to confuse the election. I mean, there's no reason we need to be counting votes a month after the election, but they wanted to do this to create chaos. Every time I think of chaos, I think of the devil, because it seems to me he's a father of chaos. But on the other hand, to your point, you have to believe Trump has been able to out-strategize every single play the enemy has made against him. It's uncanny the amount of things. It's like people have said he plays chess while they play checkers. You know, he knew this was coming. And so, you know, but people, they got a little carried away saying, well, the ballots had an imprint on them. They were scanned and it fell into Trump's trap. Well, that was proven false. And the other thing about martial law, the military says we have no role in this election. They're already saying we're not going to do anything. So is there something bigger do you think Trump, a bigger card that Trump has yet to be played that we're going to see?
You know, I mean, you've hit a very good point. I mean, you know, we've seen this massive all-out deep state mainstream media left attack on Trump for 4 years, and he's managed to survive the whole thing, everything they threw at him. And then, of course, you know, the pandemic broke out right after the impeachment thing, you know, failed essentially. So the timing of all these things, very curious. So does Trump have some secret plan that we're unaware of? You know, he might. He very well could be. There's different things that I've read about that sound like, you know, last minute kind of things. If you think about like a movie, when you write a script, I took a movie guy's screenwriting class here a couple of years ago. So they teach you the sort of the fundamentals of writing screenplays, and there's a formula. And at one point in almost all movies, you have the dark night of the soul when it seems all is lost. And, you know, it's the same thing we saw like in World War II, Great Depression, Civil War. Seems like all is lost. And then there's some like, you know, miraculous intervention. There's some grand strategy. You know, the hero pulls it off at the last minute. And and so I'm actually optimistic that that's what we're going to see happen here. But God's going to get the glory here, because if Trump gets in for a second term, it's going to be obvious to pretty much everybody that God intervened again. And I think that's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There is scripture says, let the Lord prove, the Lord will prove his strength. And I was thinking about that. You just mentioned the sort of miraculous timing of things. I think, isn't the landing of Normandy sort of one of those things? The Germans have been tricked or thought they were going to be somewhere else. But if it wasn't for this, and then if this didn't happen and that didn't happen, you know, these kinds of things, again, through American history, there seems to be something that just coincidentally fell our way.
That's why I brought up the National Day of Repentance. So, you know, most presidents from George Washington to Abraham Lincoln would call for these National Days of Repentance. They called it a National Day of Prayer, Fasting, and Humiliation. And George Washington actually, it looked like the colonial forces were going to lose. He called for everybody to, you know, participate in this National Day of Prayer and Repentance. And then everything turned around, and they managed to beat the British Empire, the most powerful empire on the planet. And the same thing happened when Abraham Lincoln was president. It looks like the North was about to lose. And then he called for this National Day of Prayer, Fasting, and Humiliation. Then shortly after that, Stonewall Jackson got shot by one of his own soldiers. And then the North won the Battle of Gettysburg, and the whole thing turned around. And so, you know, there's a lot of, you know, in the Bible, you know, I think there's 12 different times when the ancient Israelites would call for this National Day of Repentance, when it looked like they're about to get conquered, or God was about to judge them, or something really bad was about to happen, you know, drought or some terrible thing was happening. They would do this, and then things would turn around. So, I mean, we just did this. We did what we're supposed to do. So, you know, but it is in God's hands. Well, if it's time for all this stuff to happen, then there's nothing we can do to stop it. But, you know, I believe that God can intervene.
Well, you mentioned Civil War, and every time I hear that, I'm going to mention to make sure everybody I know knows about it. You know, there was a mail-in ballot fraud during the Civil War.
Oh, is that right? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then maybe in the first one, what happened was Lincoln wanted the Union soldiers that were in the field to be able to vote. And the Democrats got wind of it, and they started manufacturing votes. And this whole platoon, I guess you'd call it, voted for Lincoln's opponent, McClellan. And they were writing in, and that plan was foiled, and a lot of people went to jail. And some people say people got hung, but they were writing hundreds. They were just writing them out. They heard, mail-in ballots, and they started sending them in. They got a whole bunch of them there. So the Democrat fraud with mail-in ballots has been going on a long time. That's a battle-tested strategy that's worked for the Democrats.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, yeah, but I'll tell you what, the best, easiest read on that, just Google mail-in ballot Lincoln, and then put Washington Post in there. They haven't deleted that article, but that's where that whole story is. And when you read it, you'll be shocked. It'll look like you're reading today's headlines. You can't believe they're doing the same thing they were doing, and that's where it started. So Washington Post, and then put Lincoln and mail-in ballot fraud Civil War. All right, so a question comes in. It says, from Put Yahweh First, says, Troy, do you have any military background?
No, I don't have any military background. I've been a journalist for about 3 decades. My dad did fight in the Korean War. He was in the U.S. Air Force as a staff sergeant. He ran a PT boat, rescued downed pilots. Had an uncle fought the Nazis in World War II. And I did some research, and I found a whole bunch of ancestors that fought in pretty much every American war. So that's my background. But my co-author is a retired U.S. Army chaplain and colonel. And in fact, we just teamed up with a major general, another colonel, assistant to the president, movie guide, and several pastors to create what's called Battle Ready Ministries. And the idea is to put on conferences at churches, retreats, and camps, and help get the church, ready and prepared for the end times. And so we just launched that. It's Battle Ready Ministries, and we're in talks with about a half dozen pastors at large churches and different camps and retreats to do that. We'll bring in all kinds of different speakers to, help train people.
Well, it seems that it might be time for churches to start tuning in and getting engaged in a battle. I mean, the sad state of affairs, but your typical church almost is circular. You go, so like January 1st, you study the life of Paul, the life of Jesus, how to lose weight for Jesus, how to tithe. And then next year you come around, they're teaching it again. You think, well, the world's falling apart. Maybe we need to be thinking about things in those terms, because these Bible studies, they're meant, oh, this is a great Bible study, but I'm not seeing where those kinds of things are battle-tested strategies to engage the culture to win the land for Christ. It seems to me it's just like they just keep going around and around and around, and if you go to a certain church, you're going to enter in it. What happened, that level of teaching, and they don't ever say, we're going to pack up and go to Washington, D.C. on January 6th, or we're going to pray the devil right out of, we're going to pray the Planned Parenthood gets shut down. They don't engage like that because they don't want to mess with their flock. They think they're going to lose them. It's crazy. But what they will do, though, is they'll put the Jumbotron and the smoke machine on, and you can have a great time that way. All right, so let's get to this question here. It says, general question, what country do you possibly feel the Antichrist will arise from?
Yeah, we explored that in the Babylon Conan Trumpocalypse. It seems that there's quite a bit of evidence that the Antichrist will emerge from the ancient borders of the Roman Empire. So somewhere probably in that ballpark. But Joel Richardson, who wrote the Islamic Antichrist, he actually endorsed the military guide to Armageddon. And of course, he's a proponent that the Antichrist will arise from the Middle East. So there's all kinds of different theories. Only time will tell. But we do explore all these things in the three books, actually.
Oh, here's a question I like from Teflon Coat. It says, Troy, is there really a white hat organization known as Q?
I've actually read a few books on Q.
Okay.
And when you read these books, I mean, it's very intriguing. Could this be some, sophisticated, psyop or some kind of, manipulation strategy by the elite, or is it real? I had a friend of mine, he's wanted to actually contact who he thought was the real Q and see if if we could write a book about his experience as a top military official. We haven't reached him yet, but I don't know. I actually had a lady named Q Kelly contact me on Twitter here a couple of years ago, and she told us that she's got like 20,000 fans, and she told us that the Babylon Code, our first book, was one of the inspirations for the Q movement. And she wanted to talk to my co-author Paul McGuire, and then apparently one of the top people at Q tried to get a hold of Paul, but they couldn't reach him, and so they never made that connection. So I don't know if that's all true or not, but that's what happened.
Okay. Peter Berzal says, Troy, what is your literal definition of a demon or ghost?
A demon would be it's essentially a fallen angel, or there's some people believe that when the ancient entities on Earth died in the flood, that those became demons. That there could be like different levels of sort of evil spirits that exist, different levels of fallen angels, and then demons below them, kind of thing. So that essentially it's the Bible talks about Lucifer and a third of the angels rebelling against God in ancient time and trying to overthrow heaven. They were kicked out, and so the fallen angels that followed Satan are essentially the demons or the evil spirits.
What about ghosts?
The Bible actually does talk about a ghost, the ghost of the prophet Samuel visiting Saul. He had summoned Samuel's ghost. So apparently in certain circumstances, of course in the occult, they summon ghosts, maybe they summon demons.
You're saying that ghosts literally exist?
The Bible seems to indicate that. Whether they, maybe there's like some kind of rules for when they can actually interact with human beings. But most of the time, I'd say that the people, there's all kinds of TV shows about ghosts and that kind of thing, and I imagine most of that's demonic in nature.
Okay, so a ghost would be a demon?
Probably most likely, but the Bible does talk about Saul summoning the ghost of Samuel, so it's a interesting
little... Right, and when they saw Jesus, all the disciples thought they were seeing a ghost, so they believed in ghosts. So, Troy, it's okay to believe in ghosts, man. I mean, or acknowledge they exist. It seems like you're hedging a little bit because you don't want to get too spooky on anybody. Maybe you got credibility to worry about. I don't. So whatever. Troy, do you see God communicating to the world as a whole?
Yeah, I believe that God is communicating to us in numerous different ways. He speaks to different people. He speaks to the Bible. He speaks to us through different events. The Bible talks about all kinds of different phenomena we're seeing. There's a lot of chaotic things going on in the world, and I believe that God is trying to get our attention. He's trying to wake us up that it's time to turn back to Him. And so the Bible talks about increase in great earthquakes and all kinds of natural disasters. It even talks about pandemics and wars and all kinds of different things. And these are the initial signs that we're moving into this the end time period. And so this is the way God is communicating to us. It's it's time to turn back to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like you want to talk about ghosts more. Have you ever seen a ghost?
Ever seen a ghost? No, I don't think so.
Okay. Oh, that's fun. Or how about this here? Troy, wait a minute, we already asked that question. Let's move it down here. Do we need to think about coming up with other ways to communicate? This goes to your strategies. I heard on the internet will go down in the coming days. This is what they were testing in Nashville. How can we stay connected?
Yeah, I actually have a friend that's working with a company that's developing an encrypted communication system that Christians could continue to communicate with if in fact something like that happens. I'm not sure if it's online yet. And I had heard these reports that there could be some kind of emergency national broadcast system that the president would communicate to us through. I don't know if these things are true or not, but I've heard some of the similar things other people are hearing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So do you have any G-14 classified sources?
No. The colonel has a top secret security clearance. In fact, he went on a trip for a few days, so it's curious timing here.
Hmm. I have a son in the military, and they have not got the vaccinations yet. It seems to me they always test it out on the military. What do you think is going on there?
It's interesting that the initial rollout is military and people in nursing homes and that kind of thing. We'll just have to wait and see what kind of reactions. We're already hearing reports of different adverse reactions to the vaccine.
Are you going to take the vaccine when offered?
I'm not planning to take the vaccine.
Are you going to take the vaccine when mandated?
I'm not planning to take the vaccine.
Good answer. Good answer. I'm going to keep my eye on you. That was a quote from Back to School. I can't believe this. Somebody wants me to ask a Sasquatch question, but you don't seem to be the type of guest who would answer that, but maybe you will. Troy, is there Sasquatches out there?
I grew up in a little small town in Oregon, and so, people in Oregon and the Pacific Northwest, many of them believe in Sasquatch. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's, some ancient ape out running around in the woods. It's, mm-hmm. It could be just like sort of like the alien phenomena, some kind of demonic manifestation, mm-hmm. the devil playing with us.
Okay. So I see where you're at here. So you're saying that the aliens are really just demons and they really don't exist?
There's no way to know for absolutely certain, but I would imagine based on what I've learned, in different books I've read. There's polls out that show that I think it's in Europe, more people believe in UFOs and believe in the Bible as a literal word of God. So we've been conditioned for decades now to believe in UFOs and aliens.
You got
So
a great
perhaps this will.
you got Troy, you got a great way of going around the questions, man. But let me ask you something. What about the TikTok video? Was that a demon flying around? What?
A very curious video there. I'm not exactly sure what that was.
How
You know,
about it? How about
perhaps,
it was
perhaps.
an alien? How about it was a UFO?
When I was a reporter at the Nevada Appeal, I worked in the press corps there in Carson City, and one of the bureau chiefs was worked at the Las Vegas Review Journal, and he said that his brother actually worked at Area 51. They had all kinds of experimental technologies there, and so they'd take these craft out and fly them around the desert and freak everybody out. So, who knows what the military actually has? It's probably far more advanced than what was publicly disclosed.
Somebody corrected me. He said, "Daniel, it's Tic Tac." Now I should remember that, man, because I've been in places where people needed Tic Tacs. Whew. All right. Let's get to this question here. Troy, what percentage of people do you think will not take the vaccination?
I'm seeing polls that roughly, half the public is, probably not going to take the vaccine. Maybe it's gone down since those polls, maybe 40-50%. But there's a lot of people, who are concerned about, could this be some kind of precursor to the mark of the beast? What exactly is going on here? So only time will tell, but I think a lot of people are concerned about this.
Were you able to watch the beginning of this show before you came on?
Yeah, I watched a few little segments.
Did you see me singing "Vax You, Vax Me"?
No, I didn't see that part.
Okay. Well, you, I can't. You, yeah, you might have liked it. I mean, "Vax You, Vax Me." Vaxes for always. That's the way it should be. But my favorite part of that, but I just wrote this song tonight too, because I was just thinking about that. It goes, "I had a nightmare. I had a freaky nightmare. Zombies in the park, eating flesh in the dark." That's how the cowboy mind works. But listen, you don't have to tell your friends you've been on this show if you don't want to. Okay, but what about a mask? Now, you guys out in Cali, everybody's masked out there. Or do you go around? I mean, do you go swimming with a mask? How much are you into that?
I go for a day, pretty much a daily bike ride to get exercise, and I don't wear a mask on the bike ride. I figured that's probably, pretty safe. Of course, if you go into a store or something like that, you have to wear a mask. I flew to Phoenix to go on a TV show recently, and so you had to wear the mask for the flight and that kind of thing, going to the airport. But there's no mandatory, mask outside kind of thing here. A lot of people wear masks, but I don't if I'm just out for a walk or a bike ride or go to the beach or something.
Okay. Are there people that are walking around in the beach with masks on? I mean, in the
Oh,
water.
in the water? No, I don't think I've seen people in the water with mask on, but there's quite a few people that you'll go on the beach and have the mask on.
Well, that must be Photoshop thing there. What about since speaking of California, the beach at San Francisco, a lot of people say there's a fish there that washes up on shore called a hypodermic needle fish. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, I think there's quite a few of those fish there.
Okay. Question came in. It says, "Troy, what do you think is going to happen with the Georgia election?"
Well, yeah, that's the big question because, if we can, the Republicans can keep the Senate, then that serves as a block on the Biden if Biden became president, or the House controlled by the Democrats. But can we have a fair election in Georgia now? That's the big question, and only time will tell. But I hope that they have sufficient face safeguards in place there to have a fair election.
I'm sorry. You seem like a singer, and I didn't even offer you to sing with me. Do you want me to sing? You want to sing it together with me again?
The Vax song.
Yeah. I didn't offer it to you because you seem like a singer.
I don't know the lyrics, sorry.
Oh, okay. Do we need to think about coming up with, well, we already answered that question. I'm sorry about that. Okay, well, let's talk about your book. Where can people get this book?
Yeah, so the good news is it became a number one hot new release in eschatology and spiritual warfare books on Amazon. So it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Christian Book, Hudson Booksellers, Target, Walmart, pretty much anywhere that you know books are sold. Or you can go to troyanderson.us or davidjgiamona.com. It comes out on January 5th.
I saw he was a co-author there, but I didn't want to butcher the name, so I was going to. My battle tested strategy when doing an interview, let the guests say the name.
that's a good idea. Yeah. David Giamona.
Got my own battle tested strategies over here. Yeah. Hey man, after a thousand interviews I've done since 2004, I have developed strategies. Troy, I need to write a book too.
That's phenomenal. I saw that on your website. You've done over 1,000 interviews. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Pretty much interviewed everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody is somebody. I mean, it's like, but it's only been every Saturday night. So I don't even have Saturdays. They're just gone. There's this show here. But it does have a purpose. And we get a lot of great people that say they appreciate the show. And I'm sure they appreciate you too. All right. Here's a question from Australian Ben, an upcoming guest for next week, actually. He says, Troy, do you have any information regarding Trump's place in the book of Revelation? Is he in there?
Well, I mean, our second book we called Trumpocalypse. And you know, there's this curious thing. You got the Trump Pence, you know, that's the sign for the campaign election. And the Bible talks about the trumpets, you know, mm-hmm. there's seven trumpet judgments. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of references to trumpets in the Bible. So, you know, God has a sense of humor, I believe, and works through different kind of signs and little things like that. So probably in God's wisdom, there's some kind of connection. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's not in the Bible, mm-hmm. but I imagine he's sending some kind of signal with this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of goes back but wasn't there something else about a book that was written with Barron Trump in it? Somebody in the live chat might know about that. Wasn't there a book like that?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, somebody in the live chat, tell me what that is. We had Barron Trump in there and Donald Trump and the election of some kind of, I think it was back in 1880 something. It seemed like it was prophetic. Here's a great question. It says, speaking of the Georgia election, do you have any insight on the Georgia Guidestones?
We talked about that in Trumpocalypse. There's these large stones in Georgia that talk about reducing the human population down to, I think it's 500 million people. And so speculation has been, did the secret societies, or the elite erect these stones as some kind of message? You know, there's all kinds of global leaders and very influential people have talked about the need to reduce the global population. So that's one of the big concerns that we raise in these books and that many people have about, exactly what's going on here.
Bill Gates can't build an operating system, yet he seems to be involved with this vaccination. Look, I still remember Windows 95, and I'm still holding the grudge. So if he's involved with this vaccine in any way, it ain't going to work. Why does he keep getting involved with vaccinations?
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing's very curious, the amount of money that's been spent on this and the different connections. You just sort of do a little bit of, internet research and you'll find out that he has played a, pretty significant role in all this. And, it's a very curious question.
Well, give me a curious answer. you can give me an answer and people won't know it's right or wrong till later. Well, okay. I think Bill Gates is involved because he's in some kind of cult. Now, just recently, I saw a picture of John Roberts with a black eye. But you can Google that, black eye, and you'll see everybody and their mothers had a black eye. The Pope, Joe Biden, most of the Supreme Court, most people in Congress, musicians. What is it with this black eye business?
I haven't seen that one. So there's all kinds of like stories about different public officials with black eyes.
Yeah, Bill Clinton, George Bush. I mean, you just name somebody, and there's a picture of them with a black eye. And I'm thinking, is everybody getting punched in the eye, or is this some kind of Illuminati weirdo stuff that we don't know nothing about? But is anybody in the live chat seen that picture? The pictures of the black eyes. I just want to know. And there's also another one with people with like broken foots or sprained foots. Now, recently, the sniffer in chief, the purported sniffer in chief, twisted his ankle. Now, his excuse was he was naked. He walked out of the shower. He saw a dog. So he pulled the dog's tail and then he twisted his foot. I'm talking about Joe Biden. You know that story?
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Yeah. I mean, think about how weird that is. He's naked. He gets out of the shower. First thing he wants to do is pull a dog tail. Now, Troy, I don't know about you what they do on Cali, but I was taught as a little boy, don't pull the dog's tail. Now, here we have somebody who wants to be commander-in-chief, the most important person in the world, going around pulling dog's tails. Now, is there something wrong with his brain? Or is he a psycho? What's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, this is one thing about the secret societies. You know, of course, most people have heard about, you know, like, you know, the Illuminati's the grand one of all of them. In fact, one of my ancestors was actually the late 1700s. Frederick von Schiller wrote Ode to Joy. Many of his friends were members of the old Bavarian Illuminati, and the question was, after it was disbanded in the late 1700s, did it just go underground and then, you know, reemerge in you know, last century or so, but far more powerful than it used to be? But of course, you know, there's Skull and Bones as part mm-hmm. of Yale University. There's the Bilderberg Group, mm-hmm. Freemasons, all kinds of different secret societies. And so, you know, we explore this in the Babylon Code and Tripoclips. They use all kinds of, you know, imagery and symbols and psyops and scientific mind control and all kinds of things to sort of manipulate the public. And, you know, perhaps these things are part of that. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, somebody posted in live chat, Jimmy Carter just had a black eye recently. And I don't know who's going around punching these people in the eye. Or, you know, is that something that, you know, like hips? It seemed like, okay, a lot of older people, they have a hip problem. And some people have, you know, both hips go out. But this thing about the black eye, it doesn't seem to me that the black eye has got anything to do with being old. It seems to me it has something to do. That's why I'm talking about Joe Bite Me and his twisted foot, because the same thing I'm saying about black eyes and the elite is the same thing. You can look the same pictures up. You'll see Hillary in a foot thing. You'll see George Bush in a foot thing. You see Joe Biden in a foot thing. You'll see a turtleneck guy with a foot thing and a black eye. I'm thinking, it's got to be some kind of Illuminati connection. There must be this group that is controlling everything, and that's some sort of initiation thing.
Perhaps so. You know, I've heard about the hidden hand, and they talk about the black hand. Maybe this is the newest iteration or something.
Yeah. And then speaking of Joe the criminal, he keeps talking about a dark winter. Is he signaling something bigger than just say a few more people going to have to wear masks? What is he signaling to America?
Yeah, this phrase, the dark winter that, you know, he keeps on using is a very curious phrase. So perhaps it's some kind of signal to the, you know, to the secret society, to the deep state or something like that, or just some kind of, you know, mind control kind of terminology trying to signal to us, you know, whatever their purpose are. So it's a curious use of phrase. Usually you think of, you know, world leaders giving us encouraging messages, not mm-hmm. not the dark winter.
I don't understand that at all. Here's a guy who would paint six circles, have six people show up at his event. Trump would have 30,000 people, and then 30,000 people waiting, and everywhere he goes. So this vote count is ridiculously wrong. I'm thinking that he said, don't plan on coming to the inauguration, because Cooties 19 is going to get you. Don't come. But what we're really saying is, we know you're not coming because I really didn't get elected, and most America hates me for stealing the election. So he's planning ahead, trying to make it look like, oh, we got to be safe.
Yeah, that was a very, you know, interesting thing that, Biden would have these events, and there would hardly be anybody there, and then Trump would have these gigantic rallies where, you know, thousands mm-hmm. and thousands of people showed up, and then we watched the vote totals, mm-hmm. you know. So, this whole thing, it just seems like there's a massive cheating going on in this election, so it needs to be, mm-hmm. you know, like we talked on earlier in the show, we need to, you know, members of state legislatures and members of Congress and everybody involved to, you know, stand up and be courageous and do the right thing here. Mm-hmm. You know, time is running out.
Well, I said at the beginning of the broadcast, I had to make a choice whether I was going to be a doomsayer or somebody who's going to strengthen the arms. I'm going to be I don't know who the Moses is, but I'm going to be one of these guys holding up the arms of Moses as we go forward into battle. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to be positive about the situation. I got to say that Trump had way more people vote for him than was counted. And Biden had way less people voted for him that was counted. So if it comes to a conflict of any kind, the other side, they only have the numbers they only have the cheat numbers, and they're making assumptions and strategies based on those numbers. Those are false numbers. That's how Hillary didn't get elected. They kept telling each other that Hillary was 85% ahead of Trump. You know, vote differences, speculation of 20%. Of course, because they were telling each other that, they was just like in a room going around a circle, they got hyped up and then they lost the election. They're doing it again. It's a failed strategy. And I like your book, the title of the book, Battle Tested Strategies, because what we're talking about are strategies, and we all need strategies. And speaking of that, Troy Anderson, give us a couple more sentences about how this book, The Military Guide to Armageddon, will help people get their strategies in line.
Yeah, so the purpose of this book, you know, I teamed up with the U.S. Army chaplain and colonel, David Giamona. You know, he was in the Army for 3 decades. He's a chaplain, and still is a guide chaplain. And so he takes, you know, everything he learned in the military and you know, converts that into, you know, spiritual warfare kind of terms. So the purpose of this book is to, you know, train you to become an end times warrior god, and how to walk in the supernatural power, protection, and provision of the Holy Spirit as we move into the last days. And, you know, the Bible is a book of miracles, and God intervenes in our lives in many miraculous ways throughout our life. And so this book, you know, helps you learn how to, you know, live a righteous life, put on the full armor of God, and you know, become a warrior of God and do the Lord's work, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Troy Anderson, I appreciate you coming on the Edge broadcast. How did you like it tonight?
Oh, yeah, it was great. A lot of fun. Thank you.
Okay. I appreciate you coming on there, Troy.